Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Another day without baseball. And here we sit. I'm Bart Winkler. Tim Allen to join us immediately on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, the franchise, the longest-running postgame show in the town, the baseball postgame show, which hopefully will return at some point here. You know, we talked a little bit yesterday about how we are wasting a year of Christian Yelich's prime. We're wasting a year of Tim Allen's prime if there's no postgame show. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing good. No, you're right, getting older. My goodness. I was watching Fox Sports Wisconsin last night, and they played the May of 2015 game, the first managed game by Craig Counsell. And, you know, seeing guys like Jason Rogers and Hector Gomez, okay. But you did see Ryan Braun and Aramis Ramirez, and it just brought back, it kind of lit the fuse here for me a little bit, like, you know, all of us. I'm not unlike everybody else in that we want Brewers baseball more than anything. In terms of baseball, we want the Brewers to play. If they could just start playing tomorrow, we'd all enjoy it. I'd go back to work and interact, and I miss that, Bart. I really do. I miss the interaction. You mentioned the longest running show, but I honestly do miss talking Brewers baseball with our fans. I do, and it's that void that, you know, my girlfriend, my son, they're getting a little sick and tired of me flapping my yap here at home. So I'm encouraged about some of the back and forth. There's been a little bending in the negotiations, and hopefully we'll have a season. I'm optimistic that we will.
All right, that's why I want to talk to you, but you brought up Jason Rogers, so let me go back to 2015. Jason Rogers was going to be my guy. I thought that we had a light. I was trying to find someone in the locker room I could have a nice little rapport with, and he was at first base, and then they wanted to keep his bat in the lineup, so they put him at third for a while, and that was like a big experiment. And so I asked him if Aramis was giving him any like pointers, or if he, you know, leans on this veteran to find out how to play this position. And he basically told me Aramis won't talk to me. So I always had a bad opinion of Aramis Ramirez's stint as a Brewer.
I've had good experiences with Aramis. He was advertised as a little bit of a clubhouse cancer coming in, but I didn't experience that at all. I don't think the Brewers organization as a whole experienced that. I thought he was a good dude.
The Jason Rogers locker, too, by the way, for those that haven't been in the clubhouse, it's what a clubhouse, what you would think it looks like. And there is a locker in the corner, and every, like, week there's a new guy there. It's been Jason Rogers, it's been Logan Schaefer, it's been Will Middlebrooks has sat there. I mean, all these different guys over and over keep changing who's at that locker. So pour one out to Jason Rogers today, wherever he is. I hope he's doing very well. There is no baseball. As I mentioned, there's another proposal, and we saw this yesterday. Are you at the point where if there is a proposal, you find out everything you can about it, and you think this is the one? Because I'm telling you, I am sick and tired of this. And we get another one last night. Now we learn what the MLB players want, 89 games, and they say we'll expand the postseason, 16 teams, not just this year but next year, to recoup some of the money for the owners. Immediately, it looks like it gets shut down. You know, players versus owners aside, Tim, one thing that I can't get over is how slow this process is going. It's like they're negotiating for a season to start next year. They need to start this ASAP. I don't understand, one, why it's so public, and two, why it's going so slowly.
I agree with you. I totally agree. Why this is public, I will never know. It's almost as if, you know, the one side wants vindication that we'll leak this out and see we'll win this debate and this argument. This isn't necessarily the two sides about winning an argument. This fixation in our society about I need to be right and I need to win this argument, that needs to be canned. That attitude is awful. I don't understand why we're not locking themselves into a Zoom conference room or a face-to-face conference room. Of course, social distancing, and hash this thing out. I mean, there's miscommunication when it's literally a piece of paper, and then it's here. You take that and read all about it, and then slice and dice it to pieces, and until you're so pissed off that, you know, now emotions get involved. Bill DeWitt Jr., who's the owner of the St. Louis Cardinals, he's wondering where this came from, that owners are dishonest, and I agree with him that. It's been a dialogue that's been out there, but there's simply no evidence of this. We've all been mad at our bosses. We've all said it in our lifetime at some point, if I own this company, I'd run it the right way. Well, the players are acting childish here. They absolutely are. Who is going to pass up 75% of their pay? Potentially now 70%. So they want to give them, the owners want to give them half the money, and if the playoffs come to fruition, an additional 20% of their prorated pay. 70% in the middle of the biggest pandemic we've ever lived through. I don't understand it. It's just doesn't compute with me. Again, the owners, there's more to the boss's expenses than just their payroll. I mean, think about this. If they have to pay for testing, if they have to pay for energy at the stadium without fans, if they have to pay for security, if they have to pay, there's so many costs involved in running a company that I think the players forget that, you know, it's not just payroll. There's other subsidies here that need to be taken care of, and we'll find out. But long story short, Bart, I agree with you, man to man. I've said it for months now, man to man, eye to eye. Let's work this thing out, guys. Let's work it out. These are challenging times, if you will. And that's, there's no exception to the business world either in that.
Did you bring up Tim Allen joining us? Did you bring up Bill DeWitt Jr. to test me, because to see if I'm paying attention? Bill DeWitt Jr., who, again, as all these owners cry cheap, just bought Eva Longoria's home in Los Angeles yesterday.
God bless him, man. He earned it. He's that's
$8.25 million hilltop villa.
That's amazing. I mean,
that's $8.25 million that could go to testing, that could go to your precious energy, your security.
Yeah,
I am astounded, and I don't need to, you know, re-rack this conversation with you.
So you penalize the rich, Bart? That's what you're going to do? You're going to just say that they should give their money away and they should be chastised for buying a nice house, for really putting their financial neck on the line at times and going into hock to try and get this ownership group together and buying a team? He deserves that. He earns that.
No, I don't buy it.
Then the same thing. Then tell Mike Trout to give back some of his $36 million a year that he makes.
Can I break it? Can I break you down for a second? Can I break you down?
Shoot.
I think you want to work so badly, and I agree. I want you to work. That you just see the players as the ones saying no because the owners are doing a better PR move. So you've decided to take their side because you think if the players just said yes today, we'd have baseball. And so you want the players to just, you know, I don't want to say bend over, but I just did. You want them to take whatever the owners are willing to give them. Just take it, take whatever little money we give you and go play, because they're the ones that is costing you from having those conversations. So that's why I think you're a team owner.
No, that's not true. I want the players to act like we are. And that is, in the middle of a pandemic, you have to adjust. You can't go back to normal pay right now. We'll do everything we can, just like your company, Bart, has done everything they can to accommodate the situation. But if you decided not to go back to work, you don't get paid, Bart. It's as simple as that. Why are they any different? We put these guys on a pedestal. And me too. I do. I collect their cards and all the memorabilia and the whole thing. I do. I get a little nervous. You know, still to this day, the little kid in me comes out. I get a little nervous when I interview a Craig Counsell or a Robin Yount or a Paul Molitor, some of my, you know, pedestal superstars. But in the middle of this unique situation, dude, you got to bend on this. You can't tell the boss what to do here.
But they've already bent. They've already bent. They've already said we'll take a prorated salary. 70%. You only have to pay us for the games we play.
No, that's not true, Bart. Bart, the agreement said if there are no fans, you must go back to the table and good faith negotiate.
The agreement said they didn't say that explicitly.
Well,
so, and the owners are saying, well, we in good faith thought that there'd be fans there.
So you're going to hang this on a technicality then?
That's what the owners are doing.
No,
that's what the owners are doing.
The owners could say, go pound sand. We'll see you next year. Now you all make nothing.
Why isn't Rob Manfred making them play baseball? Does he even care? Why do you own a baseball team? Why do you own a baseball team? Why do you run the baseball league and not do everything you can to put the product out there? I am so discouraged, not by the players, but by the, I mean, I am. I'm discouraged by the owners and Rob Manfred. There's no urgency. Figure something out. This is so stupid.
It is.
We're not even talking about the testing. We're talking about money. This is a bad look, man. And I think that even if it does come back, like even if they come back for 50 games, I'm excited, but I don't know. I think a lot of the shine has been taken off the sport again.
It might be, and baseball fans have been notably a little fickle over the years. You know, the strike-shortened season, the steroids. It took a lot to get that fan base back. It did in total. Now, the last couple of years, collectively, the last 2 years in attendance for Major League Baseball was a drop of right around 5.5%. That's combined the last 2 years. I think it was 1.5% 1 year, and then 4.5% the other year, or whatever it was. But yeah, it needed a little tweaking, and I think, you know, that's a larger scale thing. But in the moment here, we have to make sure we bend, and a lot of us have been. A lot of us have been, and I just, you know, this has to be worked out eye to eye. Man to man, and when emotions get involved, and we all know it, decisions get a little sketchy.
Will you, I'm supposed to ask you this off air before I ask you on air. Will you stay with me through the commercial and then talk some more?
Sure. Yeah. Bart, I'm not working. As you know, I'll sell my soul to go back to work, as you said.
I know, but when you see people do that on like real shows, not that this, you know what I'm saying? Like on late night shows.
Yeah.
Will you stay another?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. That was preordained.
Very, very, very rarely, if ever, have you ever heard someone say, no, really, I got a scoop, man, but thanks for the time.
No. So we didn't preordain it. So because I have to read you some of the tweets that are coming in on our conversation. Very anti-Bart. Anti-Bart.
Well, no, I don't need to hear those, but it's a good debate. Hey, it's the same debate they're having at a much higher level than we are.
I am going to read them, though, because I think that it will help us, find a more common ground here. And I do want to talk more about what a 50-game season would look like if that's where they go. Tim Allen, you'll stay around? You're good? You'll stay?
Yeah, I'll grab another cigarette and enjoy the conversation.
More with Tim Allen coming up next.
Beep, beep, beep.
Bart Winkler, along with Sam Schmitz, along with the franchise, Tim Allen, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Tim, though you're not working with the postgame show, but you are doing some admirable fill-in work, including pinch hitting for me from time to time. So I wanted to thank you for that, so I could take a day off to go nowhere and do nothing. I appreciate it.
Well, no, but I mean, you've earned that through all the, you know, non-days off the last few months. So yeah, I have no problem with that. But it's just, I'll do whatever I need to do. You guys call, I'll come running. But I do miss that daily thing, that nightly thing. And that's the one thing I miss the most, man, is that at night, that hanging out with Brewers fans. I really do. And I'm not, you know, waxing poetic here or anything. I'm just telling you, truly, I miss that part of it. That's a 15-year deal. All right. I mean, that's a good chunk of time. And it's a pattern that we've developed in Milwaukee, and certainly on this station, that, you know, we all meet after a ball game. You can't catch every show, you can't catch every ball game. I understand that, but it's just that void, and we need to get back to in all sports. And people have asked me, well, why is basketball? I mean, it seemed almost flawless that the NBA has put their stuff together. It seemed almost flawless with NASCAR to put their stuff together. Well, in terms of basketball and football, there's a program in place that's called revenue sharing and a salary cap. There was an even trade. Yeah, well, we're going to cap you guys, but you guys are going to get some of our profits, and that doesn't exist in baseball, and that's where the problem is.
Well, one thing that baseball is sort of a victim of circumstance here, and you can't really hold it against them, is the timing of this. If baseball was about 6 months into the season and then the pandemic hit, I think it'd be a little different, because there wouldn't be all of the finagling about money, because a lot of the guys, for the most part, would have been paid for that season. So time-wise on this does change things. Let me read some tweets. Question All says, "You are doing to Tim what you do to others when you try to talk political. You try to make him seem like a rube for not seeing what you want to believe." Mr. Milwaukee, my dear friend, says, "Bart's hate for rich people is coming out. Come on, Bart. Someone's bank account does not make them a bad person. Tim is such a straight shooter." I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, well, first of all, it's a bad look for these owners to cry like they're not making any money. That needs to stop. Whatever the Ricketts family is doing, they're trying to paint themselves. They know that the people that go to the games like have to scratch up and, you know, afford season tickets by moving this around and moving this around. They know that their product means a lot to a lot of people. And yeah, they make a lot more money than a lot of us, obviously. But I think if you're going to own a business, you have to inherit some risk. And I do think that I think that they're going to lose more money in the long run by not having a season this year because of the apathy that will now follow baseball, than they would if they just played baseball. And there's other ways. Sell more virtual advertising. Sell advertising on Jersey. Find more ways to make money. I don't see why that's so hard.
I will say this, that we'll break it down to the micro in Milwaukee here. And it was somewhat stunning some years ago when Doug Melvin and Craig Counsell both have conveyed this story to me. And Counsell, the latest, Melvin came down to the clubhouse many, many years ago, the former GM of the Brewers, and expressed to the team how important the fans in Milwaukee were. And that, I think, the Brewers organization as a whole, Bart, has done a marvelous job in trying to get, as you said, people are scraping and scrapping to get some tickets. They've done an excellent job in making sure that there's all different platforms, all different economic platforms to get into Brewers games over the years. And that's why I've always said there's a unique relationship between the fan base and the team here in Milwaukee that I think, and again, never living in another baseball market, is somewhat unique to the league, because they actually acknowledge us. They do. They realize how important we are. You know, bring your cable bill in and get a half price ticket or a $5 ticket, or, you know, Adonasio with the 2013 Ryan Braun debacle, you know, was giving away tickets and vouchers and giving away concessions, and all of those things add up. If you take it to the macro now, the league as a whole, it's not really like that. They've got big-time investment, and they've got big-time dollars on the line, and they have to run their business the way they run it. But I think in terms of the Brewers, we run it, or they run it, the way that they acknowledge us, and that's huge. I do believe that through all of this, that they will get it done. We're on the clock a little bit. You mentioned a little bit of a timeline. We're on the clock on this. Mid-July is still in play here, guys. It is. And I think ultimately they will get this done. There's a lot of posturing. There's some emotion involved. And just can it. Just stop it. Wow. You're not the only ones going through a pandemic here.
I'll back off on the owners for a second, because I did forget that they all these beautiful ballparks, they paid for all that out of their own pocket. Oh, wait, that was the people.
Well, but that doesn't help out the economic area, does it?
Paying for those parks. Let me ask you about when baseball does come back. Let's say they can't agree on something, and so I guess Manfred can mandate a season of around 50 games. The obvious question, somebody asked me this. They said, if the Brewers win the World Series this year and it's a 50-game season, does that count to you? And I said, well, here's the thing. We always say you lose 60 and you win 60, so it's the 50 in the middle that determine the champion. And I would probably look at these as the 50 in the middle. Everybody's got their 60 wins, their 60 losses, and now we're going to play it out. But I'm thinking, if the Cubs had that 108-year stretch of no World Series and then they won in a 50-game season, I would be the first one saying that doesn't count. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah, oh, yeah, me too. Me too. But we're not talking – we're talking about our team. Our team – I've heard the conversation about no one's – you know, in 20, 30, 40, 80 years, no one's going to remember, you know, that all they see is the World Series title back in 2020. But, I'm not sure how people are going to think about that. I look at it this way. This is – look at it as an opportunity. Major League Baseball should look at this year. It's funky. It's sideways. Let's do a sprint. I've always said on the air, Bart, that one of the things I love about pennant race baseball and playoff baseball is that everyone's on the same page. We're all hanging on every pitch. The every pitch deal. I love that, you know, it's a 1-1 count here. What are we going to throw here? We're going to feed them another fastball. That, to me, is really the true form of baseball, where everybody is in tune together. The crowd is hanging on every pitch. So that being said, an opportunity to get a little creative here, an opportunity to maybe put your mark on the pandemic year and say, you know what, the outcome might be, you know what baseball did was kind of cool. Maybe it'll open some doors to some other adjustments in Major League Baseball when they do their new CBA after next season. It's an opportunity here. Use the opportunity to get creative and to really maybe bring in another fan base. We've all been itching for sports. Let's do that. Let's get a little creative. The universal DH, or if you want to do, as you said, a 50-game sprint or expanded playoffs. That's a pretty interesting scenario, and there's been some talk of potentially a 16-team playoff field. And I like it all. I just it's already weird. It's already strange. Why not play into that and have some fun with it?
You know, we keep talking about, well, who will this benefit to? And you have to think the Brewers are in there because they already don't use their starting pitchers for more than five, maybe six innings. I wonder if you see more guys like, you got your Clayton Kershaws and your Garrett Coles. I wonder if instead of them pitching once every 5 days, because then you're going to get 10 games out of them in a 50-game season.
Yep.
Maybe they become more of like, you know, long men where they go three or four innings and pitch more throughout the season, because you certainly have those guys and you want to use them. Now, it would be also better in this mini spring training we're going to do again that you don't have to stretch them the full way, because Starting pitchers, man, teams pay a lot of money for those guys, and they're not going to get a return on that investment if they're
now
only pitching 10 times.
Yeah, now you're talking. Now you're looking at strategy of a shortened, funky season. Now you're looking at a Brent Suter getting more appearances and having more of an impact on this championship season.
And winning a Cy Young.
Brandon Woodruff.
Then
Woodruff. So Woodruff starts, goes four, because we want to use him again at the tail end of a four-game set. Suter comes in and pitches two and a third. And then we unleash Josh Hader for an inning and a third. And then Corey Knable slams the door for another Brewers victory. See, there you go.
Tim, it was always a pleasure. I would like to already tease our conversation that I'm sure we'll have next week about why baseball still hasn't come back and whose fault it is, the players or the owners.
Yeah, I know. It's a great debate. I enjoy it. I really do. And just hoping that, you know, not just baseball, but everybody gets their feet back on the ground and stabilizes. How about that? You know, I think Sparky has always given me grief over the years about my term, you know, for Dave Bush. He's a stabilizer in the rotation. He just adds stability. Maybe we can do that with life in general, business in general, health in general, and politics in general. We'll just stabilize everything. How's that sound?
Tim, good stuff. Thanks as always. You be good, okay?
See you, Bart.
Tim Allen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Dave Bush, I think I've been to, there was a stretch where I was at like over three summers, maybe 20 Brewer games. And 18 of them were started by Dave Bush. And in 14 of them, he had a no-hitter through the sixth inning and then got shelled in the seventh. It's like the same game I went to every time. Tim joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.